Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. It's hour two. We're live in Los Angeles, which is, of course, part of America. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio. We're right here on FS1. This weekend was so crazy. I'm sure all the ratings kind of ate at each other. You had the Lakers, the number one brand in the NBA, and the number one brand, LeBron James, playing. At the same time, I got Cam and Russell Wilson putting on a clinic. It was so much fun. And I thought that game was going to be so boring. I thought it was going to be 17-13. It was so much fun. And then you have the U.S. Open this weekend. Bryson DeChambeau, the guy that has like 48 slices of bacon and 9 protein shakes before 9 a.m., won. And it's just, this is what it is in America. So everything's kind of eating at each other. But I was kind of a football person yesterday. Big.
Yeah, I mean, I had the Lakers game up. I actually had the Lakers game up, and then I had the Emmys in another box, and I had the
NFL game up. Who won Best Actor?
I couldn't keep track. Schitt's Creek won basically everything.
Yeah.
Zendaya won for Euphoria, which is an incredible show. I don't know if you've seen that. It's on HBO.
Right.
Actually, you probably shouldn't watch it. It's about young kids and like...
Okay, yeah, I can't watch it.
You probably shouldn't watch it. It's pretty disturbing, but it's an amazing show. She did a great job. And we both love Ozark. Ruth from Ozark won.
Oh, Ruth is crazy time.
She's my favorite character in that show. So yeah, it was fun. So I had like a lot going on, but... It was a great day yesterday.
All right. Yes, it was. Colin right, Colin wrong on a Monday. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
We told you, Russell Wilson's now carrying Seattle. And let's be honest about it. Seattle's defense isn't very good. They can't get to the quarterback. Cam Newton up and down the field. Matt Ryan up and down the field. They are last in yards per game allowed. Passing yards allowed. They've given up 1,000 passing yards in 2 weeks. And one of those is to New England, which doesn't have a deep threat or a functioning veteran tight end. Pro Football Focus ranks their defensive line 30th. They have 3 sacks all year. 2 of them are by Jamal Adams, a safety. As we predicted, it's going to be Russell Wilson. You got to let him go because this defense can't stop anybody.
Where Colin was wrong.
Blazing 5 was 2-3. If Cam scores, I have a winning week. He doesn't. I have a losing week. We are 4-6 on the year. Really rough weekend for bettors yesterday. We did have Miami, we thought would keep it close against Buffalo. And we thought the dominating win of the weekend would be Tampa Bay. It got a little hairy at the end, but they held on.
Where Colin was right.
When Leonard Fournette got picked up by the Buccaneers, we said, why has everybody bailed on Leonard Fournette? He came out the same year as Christian McCaffrey, and McCaffrey was great and got the publicity. Leonard Fournette's excellent. 1,000 yards, 75 catches last year. He sealed the game yesterday. I think by week 2, he's established himself as the workhorse running back for Tampa. I never understood why everybody bailed on Leonard Fournette. He was the best high school running back. He was the best college running back. He runs with violence. He's a great guy if you get a lead and have to eat the clock. He can catch the football. He had 4 receptions yesterday. I just thought the media and fans downplayed it. Like he was, I understood Shady McCoy, end of his career. You can downplay that. Leonard Fournette is a top-tier running back in the NFL. He's a clock eater, a yard getter, a ball catcher. He's everything I want for Tom Brady. What a great comfort running back. Turn, hand it off, and he'll pick up 5 yards when there's about 3 available.
Where Colin was wrong.
Cam and Belichick. It's not only working, it's fascinating. Through 2 weeks of his career, this is the highest completion percentage of Cam Newton's career, 71.5%. Through 2 weeks of Cam's career, this is the fewest times he's been sacked. His accuracy is excellent. His mechanics are superb. Clearly, Cam is taking to coaching because his mechanics have been a hot mess for a lot of his career. I thought they were excellent last night. I think he's patient. I think he's picking his spots. I mean, he feels like the leader of this franchise, and he's been there an hour. Like, if this is Cam, this works.
Where Colin was right.
I've always defended Jared Goff. It's not sexy, but he and McVay work. He throws a beautiful ball. You just got to keep him moving. He has been a machine this year. 69%, 109 passer rating. The Rams have figured him out. You got to give him a little bit of a running game. move the pocket with him. He's not hyper-athletic. I think he's Matt Ryan with a better arm. I think he's Matt Ryan with a stronger arm. And I think he's been great. This offense does not have a lot of over-the-top performers. It's got a lot of Tyler Higbee and Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. They're very good players. They don't have a Tyreek Hill. They don't have a Travis Kelce. That's not what this offense is. It's death by 11 yards. And Goff and McVay perform it wonderfully. Everybody complained about his contract. Folks, you need a quarterback. He's absolutely a top 12 to 15 quarterback in the league, and I'd say he's closer to 10 than he is to 15.
Where Colin was wrong.
I've always thought Anthony Davis was talented and gifted, but soft, with no dog. He hit the game winner yesterday. He's played through injuries this year. He has been fantastic in the bubble. He's averaging 29-11 and shooting 56% on the floor. The knock on Anthony has always been, where's the it? Where's the dog? Where's the alpha? Take the game over. Charles Barkley said it yesterday. He should be the best player in the league. 6'11", can shoot a jumper, put it in the floor. Great defensive player. Doesn't want to be a center, but he's a great four. He's in the Tim Duncan mold. You could put him at center. He's a four. This is what I keep waiting for. 7 years, I'm like, could you give me... Damian Lillard's half the size, but would literally is fearless. Anthony Davis has always played with some anxiety to me. Not anymore. He's looked great.
Where Colin was right.
I like Justin Herbert out of Oregon. And there are a lot of credit. A lot of people just thought he was there's a lot of mess here. He's big, mobile, strong, and with a big arm and lets her rip and take shots. And he, again, the word fearless. He plays kind of fearless. He and Joey Burrow are both better than I thought. I thought they would both struggle. They both have one thing I like. Big guys who just play with confidence. To learn you're going to start against the Super Bowl champs, and 5 minutes later, you're out there slinging it. I mean, if he would have unraveled, you would have totally understood it. I thought Burrow was unbelievable Thursday. I thought Justin was great. That's a great throw right there. I mean, these are, you got under duress. You're looking to second and third wide receivers. And this kid takes a, he got popped. One time he got popped and the linebacker got hurt. So I didn't think, I mean, this is the guy I liked at Oregon. I thought Oregon's coaching staff was way too conservative, wouldn't let him run until the Rose Bowl. Let him run, please. The kid's an athlete. He's Josh Allen. Let him run.
Where Colin was wrong.
Ryan Tannehill, he's a total enigma. He was a wide receiver in college. I've never put my arm around him. He started as a wide receiver at Texas A&M. They move him to quarterback. He's been fantastic since week 7 of last year. You know, he's completing 70% of his throws, and his passer rating's 120. He works in their system. Yesterday, they didn't have their number one wide receiver. They got into a shootout. He delivered. I can't get my arms around him. He's not a natural sometimes. You know what he is? Like Herbert, he's a big, strong, athletic guy. And Tennessee, boy, if you don't think coaching matters, watch Tannehill and Cam. Like, all of a sudden, it's like, I mean, and Cam's got obviously more talent, but if you don't think coaching matters, Tannehill leaves Adam Gase. This appears to be what he is, a winning quarterback.
Where Colin was right.
Where you land matters. We are very high on Sean McDermott, the coach of the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen's first 2 years in this league was a little bit of a wreck. He was wildly erratic. Not anymore. He is great. His completion percentage, remember in college? He was like in the 50s. He's completing 70% of his throws in the NFL. This is coaching. We think Sean McDermott and the Buffalo staff, maybe a top 3 or 4 staff in the NFL. The bad news is Belichick's in the same division. But where you land matters, and Josh Allen's development is a major tip of the cap to Sean McDermott and that staff. Instead of being this wild pony who's erratic and all over the place, he has settled down, fewer bad throws, higher completion percentage. That's what it's all about, coaching.
Where Colin was wrong.
I had the Celtics and the Clippers in the NBA Finals. One won't make it, and one's in trouble. My guess is now Miami feels like the better team despite what we saw in the last game. Listen, the Clippers played entitled. Load management doesn't work. You got to build chemistry. It's not only bad for fans. When you got a bunch of new parts, you got to build chemistry. And if nothing else, this bubble has been about chemistry. The Lakers have always had it, by the way. That's the one thing Joy and I said week one. They got chemistry. There's other stuff the Lakers don't have. Well, the Clippers were the opposite. They had everything else, but they had no chemistry. And the bubble's been about chemistry. Miami, Denver, Dallas, even Phoenix, Boston, the teams with chemistry that can deal with all this bubble, not seeing your family, friends, getting out of your habits. But I had the Clippers and the Celtics, and I was dead wrong on that. It's just really interesting that Russell Wilson and LeBron, really strong, dynamic leaders of men. And I told you last week, I heard a story inside the Lakers. The first 10 days of the bubble, it was not good. You had a bunch of old guys. They missed their wives. They missed their kids. And then about halfway through the bubble, LeBron's like, just cinched it all together and just said, listen, man, this thing, look around, man. The old teams are not playing well. And the Lakers have been the best team with Miami in the last 15 days of this bubble. And that goes to LeBron James. And just similarly in the COVID, Seattle looks like the best team in the league. You got real leadership in Kansas City. You got real leadership in Seattle. You've got real leadership in Baltimore. Credit to Aaron Rodgers, veteran quarterback. Green Bay is playing great football, at least offensively. So, you know, this COVID thing, it gets us all untied and unraveled. Leadership has never, ever mattered more. Trent Dilfer's right around the corner. What did he see yesterday? The good, the bad, the ugly, and the indifferent. That's coming up with Trent.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Sunday, we've got a huge doubleheader on Fox. First, the 49ers take on the Giants or other regional action. Then, Dak and Zeke lead the Cowboys against Russell Wilson and the Seahawks in America's Game of the Week. Check local listings for the game in your area or watch it on the Fox Sports app.
By the way, Rams-Bills, that was one of the 1 o'clock games. That's interesting. Sean McDermott may be the best young defensive coach. McVay's certainly in a small group of the best offensive coach, and both those teams are playing really, really well. That's an under-the-radar game. Trent Dilfer played a decade and a half in the NFL, a Super Bowl and a Pro Bowl, and he's my buddy now coaching in Nashville at the Lipscomb Academy, where they had a win this weekend. So here's what surprised me. Not that Russell Wilson is great or that he's faced Belichick 4 times and he's obviously very effective. They did attack Stephon Gilmore, and a lot of people, they just go to the other side of the field. In your career, there are corners you just rather not throw on that side. Were you surprised Russell, with young DK Metcalf, went after Stephon Gilmore?
I'm not surprised. I mean, I wouldn't have done it. I don't have that type of courage, but it doesn't surprise me that Russell did it. I really believe this is a planting a flag in the ground year for Russell Wilson. I think he's making a statement with how he's playing. I'm the best quarterback in the National Football League. I worked the hardest this offseason in this new COVID environment. I built a football field on my property and had my receivers come out and work with me. We have chemistry like no other, and we're going to be wide open as an offense. I'm going to study harder than everybody else, and I'm going to go at your best player off the get-go and make a statement with every game that I play. Russell Wilson is incredible. The chemistry he has with these guys, their offensive system, Brian Schottenheimer's done an incredible job opening this thing up. It's super diverse. It's super fluid in how it works. You got crossing routes, vertical routes, action, Saturday offensive flavor, power eye. You got pretty much all of it in one thing. It doesn't surprise me at all that Russell went after Gilmore off jump start.
So the thing that jumped out to me with Cam, his mechanics have always driven me nuts. I always felt he and Matt Stafford sometimes get really loose. And I watched him yesterday and I'm like, well, somebody clean that up, because he was planting a foot. He really had command of the guy. I felt like this, he was not a rental player. I felt like, oh, that could win. They don't have a vertical dimension, but are you surprised? Not that he's taken to coaching, but it's just like this Cam is the Cam I kept waiting for, which is cleaned up some of the stuff. I'm frankly surprised by it. Are you?
Well, I think it's really interesting. Chris Collinsworth did a great job last night kind of talking about when Cam got there and some of the conversations that he had had about Cam had lost confidence through the injuries and didn't know if he could play at the same level. And then getting with Josh McDaniels, who just spent, you know, forever with Tom Brady, a mechanics guru, and learning from Tom Brady and, you know, addressing his shoulder tilt, addressing some things with his base, his foundation. I thought Chris did a great job of kind of explaining this journey that Cam is on to rediscover his talent. And mechanics is part of that. This is a craft position. And it's like a golfer. I don't care how much talent you have. If you're not working on your craft, you're not going to be a consistent ball striker. And Cam Newton's working on his craft now with a very smart football coach in Josh McDaniels. And you're seeing the ball come off his hand with a more consistent trajectory. He's always been able to rip fire, but his mechanics would cause him to lose the ball. Think of a guy most people out there listening probably hit slices. It's because you come outside in, the club face is open, it goes left to right, and you end up spending the day in the trees. Well, Cam Newton was the same way throwing a football. He had a big miss. I think Josh addressed the big miss early. He's leveled him out. He's tightened him up, I think is the term you've used. He's less loose, less squirrely. Therefore, the ball comes off his hand in a more consistent trajectory and finishes better.
So, you know, this is hard for you to relate to because you never had a ton of weapons when you were in Tampa and I covered you. But I will say this. There are times where, like, Brady's got three serviceable tight ends and multiple backs and multiple receivers. And it yesterday I'm like, okay, he's kind of checked the Mike Evans thing. But it does feel like, Tom, like, he wants to make sure everybody's included. But this is an old dog. There's new tricks, a new system, no preseason. It is a weird situation for Tom. He's never had multiple weapons to this level. We know that, right?
Multiple weapons and an aggressive play caller and an aggressive system. I mean, this is going to take time. We've said that. It looked good yesterday. But even Tom said in his post-game presser, you know, the execution was better, but they're far from his expectations. So I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if they can just hold serve and if they can just be a 500 team come midseason, I think that's when you're going to see Tom Brady's genius, the chemistry take over, how they work in Fournette. They used him in the passing game a little bit yesterday, which, yeah, I thought was interesting. But the ability to play action pass, that's where tight ends really become valuable. And where Mike Evans gets more single coverage is if you have a power run game, you incorporate the play action, the tight ends working underneath, then all of a sudden Mike Evans has single coverage all day long. But these things take time. It's not like you just draw them up on the board on a Monday afternoon and they're perfect come the following Sunday. So the Bucs are going to be a conversation every week. I get it. But I think they're going to be a really interesting conversation the backstretch of the season.
Listen, I've always liked Carson Wentz. Something's not right, and I don't know what it is, and you played the position. What is wrong with Carson Wentz?
So for a while, I was just saying he's wearing the Superman cape too much, trying to be a superhero, trying to do more than just his job. I watched Dan Orlovsky this morning talk about it on Get Up on ESPN. I thought Dan talked about something good when you're trying too hard, there are some mechanical things that pop up with quarterbacks. One of them is that front leg stiffens out. It means you're rushing things. It means your body isn't organized and you're not in sequence. You see a lot of throws of Carson where that front leg is locked out. His head's tilting back. It's kind of Cam Newton stuff. It's interesting. We talked about Cam earlier. Some of the same things that got Cam in trouble mechanically early in his career, elevations rising up and down, eyes rising up and down, shoulders tilting, front leg locking. A lot of that is just a breakdown mechanically, but often because you're trying too hard, you're forcing things. You're not just forcing the ball, but you're forcing the game. I think Carson Wentz needs to go to yoga a few times this week. He needs to calm down. He needs to let it breathe a little bit, not try to win the game by himself. He's got talented people around him. He doesn't have to put on the cape. Slowly start tightening things up again. Do a little self-examination. Do a little film study on your stuff, on yourself. Again, using the golf analogy, go hit some pitching wedges. Don't just pull out the big dog and put it on the tee and start cranking home runs. Let's hit some pitching wedges. Let's get your feel back. Let's not try so hard and let the game come to you.
All right, you had a first start in the NFL in Tampa. I was there. Justin Herbert had one and got 5 minutes heads up. I thought he was pretty good. You?
I thought he was really good, but even bigger than that, how about the poise? I mean, to find out right before a kick that you're starting, to have your whole world upside down. It's not like you got a lot of reps in practice last week. And then to go out in the game and not just perform well athletically, not just to throw the ball well, but to have a calmness and a command to himself was really impressive. I always look for quarterbacks' eyes. You know, young quarterbacks, watch their eyes, watch their head. Are they bouncing up and down? Is their head pivoting everywhere? Are they not sure what they're looking for? Is there a calmness? Is there a decisiveness to them? And I thought Justin had all of those things. I was uber impressed. And I really was from the camp that Justin was going to be a big time pro at some point, but it might take a while. Pep Hamilton's obviously done a really good job raising this young kid. There's a lot of good coaches on that staff. I think this kid was ready to play, even though he hadn't gotten a ton of reps.
So Dallas, execution was bad, fumbles a mess, but they won. Have you ever won a football game and you knew you were a mess? And what's Dallas feeling like today?
I've never seen anything like that. I mean, there's some weird Elias stat that you score that many points and don't turn the ball over and you're 440-0 since 1933, I think, the Falcons. I mean, what the Cowboys overcame yesterday was incredible. I think it speaks more to their grit, more to the team's soul than it does any XO stuff. And we can talk about Atlanta, how to even let him get the ball back that much. How does Dallas get 81 plays? How does Dak Prescott have three rushing TDs and over 300 yards passing in the second half when that's never even been done in a full game? But bigger than all those things is just the belief in one another. They didn't start hanging their head. They didn't lose energy. They believed in themselves. They believed they could come back. I mean, that's a foundational win for this Dallas Cowboys team, something they can point back to when they have other shared adversity during the season. Because in the course of this journey they're going on, there's going to be a lot of dark moments. And now they can always point back to week two and say, hey, remember how we hung together? Remember how we came back against the Falcons? Good things are coming. They can be the most optimistic team in the NFL because they can always point back to week two.
Trent Dilfer, 15 years in the league. Good talking to you, buddy. Congrats on Lipscomb Academy in Tennessee winning this weekend. And we'll talk soon.
Thanks, buddy.
He took over a program that had just 36 players. Now they got over 100, and they're winning a bunch of football games. I'll say this for Dallas. Football is so strange. The first half hour of that Cowboys game, you're like, what's going on? They're fumbling every time. Like, what is happening? That's what's amazing. You know, it was funny because I don't think Atlanta's defense is very good, even though they have a defensive coach. It was a game in which you thought, even when they were down big, you're like, just make one stop. Dak will get you yards. But that was one of the most unexplainable first half hours. Poor Goulet is a Cowboy. He's the Cowboy fan on staff. It was one of those things where it was like Kansas City last year fell behind to Houston in the playoffs. You're like, can we just settle down? Can somebody hold the football? You knew it would eventually. I mean, they were obviously awful for 30 minutes. But it was just like, could you make a stop? Could you stop fumbling? I mean, this game is weird.
That felt a lot more like a Falcons loss. Like, it was about the Falcons. Like, the Cowboys didn't win that game. The Falcons lost that game.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
I mean, everything that Trent just said, how do you allow that to happen if you're the Falcons? Like, the Falcons can't just lose. They've got to lose the biggest lead possible in dramatic fashion.
And the onside kick, it was, if I was a special teams coach and I watched my team hover over the ball, I don't know how you sleep at night. That just didn't look right. I know you can't touch it, but you got to be ready to touch it.
It's almost impossible to convert an onside kick these days. It's almost impossible. I don't know how they did it. So LeBron James came in second to Giannis in MVP voting this year, and after the breakdown of the ballots came out, LeBron did not hold back his true feelings about the results.
Pissed me off. That's my true answer. It pissed me off because out of 101 votes, I got 16 first place votes. That's what pissed me off more than anything. not saying that, the winner wasn't deserving of the MVP. But that pissed me off.
Can I just say this? I've never heard an athlete use it four times. I don't have to agree with everything he said. I had LeBron as the MVP this year. But it's okay. I mean, he said it as he smiled. It's okay. It's not disrespectful to Giannis. He literally had a new coach, a new system, a new player, a new teammate in the bubble and basically wasn't considered by 9 out of 10 voters. I wouldn't be happy either. Michael Jordan, by the way, held grudges and he used them to his advantage. That may be the grudge that LeBron uses to win this whole thing.
Well, LeBron's smiling because he knows everyone's going to talk about him saying that. LeBron knows how every heart of this whole game goes. He knows people are going to react to that. That's why he said very specifically that the winner is, of course, still deserving of the MVP. So he's still going to give Giannis his flowers. But he's not wrong. At this point, the amount of MVPs that LeBron has won is embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. I said this the other day to a friend who likes Westbrook. I said, Russell Westbrook is everything. He's not valuable. Everybody leaves him and gets better. He's you can give me 40 things and I'll be like, check, valuable. Not. LeBron may not be everything, but valuable to a city, the economy, the front office. His Anthony Davis finally plays through injuries and finally delivers late. What a coincidence he's playing with LeBron. Like, he elevates everybody he plays with.
It's not that it's not a still a great achievement to win an MVP, but it's absolutely become a narrative award. And that's on the media.
That's right.
Okay, and listen, as a member of the media, I'm a proud nerd. This is what we are. We get paid to talk about other people doing their jobs.
Right.
Like, at the fundamental core of what we do, right? So being that we are responsible, and not we, because I'm not a voter, obviously, but you have to consider the enormity of that decision of voting for MVP. Because at this point, it has become embarrassing that LeBron hasn't won the amount of MVPs that LeBron has won.
Let's talk about something uncomfortable. Kobe's death. Good God, the pressure on LeBron to... I mean, it's just if you just look at the enormity of new stuff and Kobe's death and the pressure and the bubble... And it's this team doesn't have a third dependable scorer.
And the argument for Giannis, and listen, yes, Giannis had an MVP season. No one's taking that away from him. And maybe Giannis still would have won the MVP, right? Because the argument is, oh, well, he won MVP last year and his numbers are better this year. Okay. But 16 first place votes, Giannis got 85 first place votes.
Not good enough.
To LeBron's 16. It was LeBron's second closest closest second place finish with 209 MVP votes.
You know why this is,
separating,
though? Because writers are tired of voting for him. They're just...
That's my problem. Like, that's not LeBron's problem that he's so great.
Yeah, like,
that you're tired of voting for his greatness.
If you and I are the best show and we win 12 straight, we deserve 13. As long as we're not cruddy in year 13.
You are going to wake up every day with the opportunity to be better.
Yes. So we agree on this.
So that's it. He should have won the MVP this year. It's not that Giannis didn't deserve it, but the amount of MVPs he has is crazy. So the Bucks' offense took a positive step Sunday in the 31-17 win over the Panthers. But Brady says the group is still a work in progress.
Execution was a little bit better. I think we still are a long ways from where we need to be. So it was... I think we have the ability to make plays. I think consistency, dependability are going to be things that we really need. So, got to get back to work. And the clock's ticking on next week. So, going to get focused on next week's game and try to be a lot better next week.
Chris Godwin hopefully comes back, who's a star. So, Godwin was on concussion protocol. So, now Mike Evans, who Tom has a relationship with a little bit now. Now you get Godwin back. Fournette, another four practices. Here you go.
Well, they're at the Broncos next week. Mike Evans had 7 receptions, 104 yards, and a touchdown. And Leonard Fournette had 12 carries, 103 yards, and 2 touchdowns. It was it got a little interesting there for
second. It did. I almost didn't cover on this puppy. Yeah. I was at the end, all I cared about was winning my bet. I knew who was going to win. All I cared about was winning my bet.
Yeah, you've had some.
I won
bad
people money
recently
on Fox Bet. So that was my Fox. It's called the Fox Boom Bet.
Right.
So if I pick one game a week, and so I was going to make America financially healthier. So I was, there was a lot of pressure. It was this game. And I like Tampa to win by 10. It was a lot of pressure.
I do still feel like you said earlier, this is a team that could have used some preseason games. I think overall, we've had a big learn with the preseason is that we still need it, just probably don't need 4 games.
Right.
So around 2 games is probably what we need.
Yeah.
They could have used a little bit more chemistry, a little bit more reps. We kind of put Tom Brady and the Bucks in the same category as teams that are coming back with the same personnel, and they're not.
Yeah.
Like, this is a team with a new quarterback. Any team that had a new head coach or new quarterback was going to get up against it.
Most are stinking.
I mean, look at the Giants.
Most of these new quarterback, new system teams stink.
And that's not necessarily their fault. There's a lot of circumstances affecting that. We just don't necessarily look at this team like that. It got a little shaky there yesterday, but I feel like they're starting to get it going. Finally, Jared Goff has the Rams off to a great start to the season.
humming.
Total control of the offense yesterday against the Eagles, completing his first 13 passes and finishing 20 for 27 for 267 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Deepest wide receiving core in the league. That's my belief. Van Jefferson, the rookie from Florida, to the other three dudes, this is a great wide receiver tight end core. Great.
Well, I think everyone probably bailed on the Rams a little early. Too dramatically and yeah. early. This might happen with the 49ers as well, though I think people will keep in mind that they have so many injuries this year because, I mean, 49ers are in a bad spot. But when you're coming off of a year of winning a Super Bowl or getting to a Super Bowl, people kind of overreact to when you don't get back to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl next year. Like, yeah. Oh, you were in the Super Bowl last year. It's very, very hard to get to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's a massive accomplishment to even get to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So to keep those same level of expectations every single year is a little bit ridiculous. Like, yes, you can have those goals and you probably should be competing to get there. But things happen. You have injuries. People leave. There was a lot of stuff that happened with the Rams last year. People bailed a little early. They're now 2-0. 37-19 win over Philadelphia, which is a bit of a disaster.
No, I thought Philadelphia would get the Lane Johnson was back. It was a mess. It was worse than last week. It was a mess.
Carson Wentz was 26 of 43 for 242 yards, no touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. They play the Bengals in Philly next week, so they get a little bit of a break.
I want to see the line on that.
Might be a game that they could get it back on track.
What's the line on that? That's an interesting game. Joey Burrow goes to Philly. That's an interesting game. All right, that's good.
And the Rams play the Bills in Buffalo next week.
That's a great game, actually. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Albert Breer knows the Patriots' thoughts about Cam as he no longer a rental player. That's coming up. When it comes to reaching health goals, it's about changing your mindset. Go to Noom, free trial, start today, noom.com/herd Noom. It's The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Senior NFL guy at Monday Morning Quarterback. I like to bring him on as often as I can. Albert Breer is now going to join me live from the Northeast. This guy is really tied into, among other things, the Patriots. I've got to be honest, Albert. Cam's mechanics are better. I thought he was fantastic last night. It's the Cam I've been hoping for years. You thought it would work to some level. Were you surprised by the efficiency through 2 weeks?
You know, I thought last night was a huge step forward, Colin. What we saw in week one, I think, is who we've always known Cam could be. They ran a real option offense. I mean, it really was a college offense in week one. The run-to-pass ratio was 2-1 against the Miami Dolphins. I think the real question when you're running an offense like that, and we've seen this in Baltimore the last couple of years, is what happens when you fall behind? Well, last night, the Patriots fell behind. They fell behind 28-17. They fell behind 35-23. And we saw Cam have to throw to win. And we saw that he could do it again. And to me, that's enormously encouraging because it shows not only are they building a running game around Cam, they're able to build a passing game around Cam. So that's a big plus. And it does show, too, that his shoulder's healthier. And I think that that's a big deal also. And so I thought what we saw in week one was really a testament to the Patriots coaching staff being flexible enough to change who they are. I think in week two, what we saw was a testament to Cam and how far Cam has come from the guy he was, you know, at the end of last year where he's dealing with the shoulder issue and the foot issue as well.
Belichick finally found his kryptonite. It's Russell Wilson, who is electric to begin with. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does look like Bill can't stop him. Like, that's the guy he can't stop.
Right. Yeah, and there's no question that, like, you know, this sort of quarterback has always given Bill Belichick problems. Look at how Deshaun Watson's played against Bill Belichick. Colin Kaepernick a few years ago gave Bill Belichick problems. Even Cam Newton was really, really good against Belichick.
Yeah, he was.
So dual threat quarterbacks have been an issue for Belichick over the years. And I think what we're seeing now in Seattle is this really becoming Russell Wilson's team and really becoming Russell Wilson's offense. And it sounds funny to say that because it sort of has been for a while now. But really the growth between Russ and the offensive coordinator there now, Brian Schottenheimer, has been enormous over the last few years. When Pete Carroll brought him in 2018, job one, fix the running game. In 2019, it was about having a balanced offense. And this year, talked to Schottenheimer about this last week, it's really about giving Russ complete ownership of everything within the offense. And I think we've seen over the first 2 weeks how he's really taken that and run with it. He looks like a different level of quarterback than even he's been the last 8 years.
Carson Wentz is 27. No more young quarterback alibis. 58 starts, two good tight ends, same system, same coach. He's a mess. What's happened? What are you hearing?
Well, you know, it just looks like somebody who's trying to do too much. And, you know, this is really the next step for quarterbacks. He had a really good situation around him his first few years in the league. They paid him. And when you pay a quarterback at that level, you know what that means, Colin. That means you've got less to go around. And so you're putting a little bit more on the quarterback to elevate everyone around him. Now, all of a sudden, they're not as good on the offensive line. They've gotten a little bit older. Andre Dillard got hurt. Brandon Brooks got hurt. And so I think you see a young quarterback pressing to do a little bit too much. I think you saw it in week one where the offensive line wasn't very good. I think you even saw it in week two where the offensive line was better. And so some of the questions that face Carson Wentz coming out of North Dakota State, those are cropping back up. How natural does he look in the pocket? How accurate is he when he's got to operate from back there? I just think that there's some of the things that maybe you expected to see growth where we haven't seen growth right now from Carson Wentz. So I think it is, you know, fairly alarming what we've seen the last 2 weeks. And really, the Eagles need Carson Wentz to take that next step.
By the way, two things that worry me about the Niners, and we have a history of teams lose the Super Bowl and they fall off a cliff. Yeah. Number one, their division's frightening. Goff, yeah. Kyler Murray, and Russell Wilson. Here's the second thing. Here's a look at their schedule, October 18th to December 7th. Rams at the Patriots, at the Hawks, Packers at the Saints, at the Rams, Bills. Run for your life. Are they in real trouble in San Francisco?
I mean, so right now, they're without their quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. They're without their best player, Nick Bosa. Their running back that they just paid, Raheem Mostert, is banged up. You got Solomon Thomas. He's also on the shelf now. I think it's going to test, the coaching acumen of Kyle Shanahan, which is hard to deny. We know he can coach himself out of certain situations. And then B, it's going to test the depth of the roster. They've done a really nice job building it up the last few years, Colin. I thought what they did in the offseason, I mean, you look at it, you lose a Joe Staley at left tackle, and you're able to replace him with Trent Williams. You know, you lose DeForest Buckner on the defensive line, but you keep Eric Armstead and you add Javon Kinlaw. I think their roster management has been really, really good over the last 24 months. Now the question is, where's the depth on the team? Because this is what this obviously brings to the fore, is what are you going to do now at defensive end when you don't have Nick Bosa out there? How does that affect the whole D-line group? Quarterback, what do you do? How does Kyle Shanahan look coaching Nick Mullins up? And so, certainly I think that this is the sort of thing that can happen to any team. It's just the nature of the sport, but does test the Niners in a couple of different ways that are interesting. And yeah, I mean, the NFC West, no question, it's wide open right now.
Finally, a couple of minutes in New England where you are regularly at. Tom Brady, are people rooting for him or against him? What are they saying in Boston?
I think people have a hard time rooting against him, Colin. I think people kind of looked at it and said, well, do we really want to root for Bruce Arians and the Buccaneers? And, you know, I don't think people want to see him play poorly. You know, it's one of those things. You want to see him do well when he goes somewhere else. And, I think one of the things that really stuck out to me over the first 2 weeks is sort of the new environment he's adapting to. Think about this, Colin. In week one, they had a field goal block. They had a kickoff fumbled. They went off sides on a 4th-and-2. Now, none of that had anything to do with Brady, but how many times in Brady's 20 years in New England has he ever dealt with those sorts of things all at once? You know, so I do think that there was a little bit of a shock factor for Brady himself dealing with it. And for everybody here, I think seeing him in that context, playing for a different organization where it's not as buttoned up as it is here in New England, was really, really interesting. I trust that Brady's going to adjust, but certainly the first 2 weeks, I think we've seen how different the environment he's operating in is. And of course, for anybody, you know, who lives up here and who's been up here for the last 20 years, it's a jarring sight to see Brady deal with some of these different things.
Good stuff, Albert Breer, lead guy, Monday morning quarterback. Good talking to you, my friend. Excellent Sunday of football. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks, Colin.
By the way, the Bay Area is interesting. So the Raiders, who are in the Bay Area, are now in Vegas. They'll play tonight against the Saints at their new stadium. It'll be fantastic in Las Vegas. You're going to see a lot of talent offensively for the Raiders, a lot of defensive talent for the Saints. I'll take the Saints to win, but it's going to be a showcase. It's Vegas. I've never, you know, none of us have seen an NFL game in Vegas. So all the shots of Vegas and the desert, Vegas is beautiful. Still about 97 degrees in the day right now. It's still hot in Vegas. It's the desert.
I can't wait to go to that stadium.
I drive, it's right, literally, you leave the airport, you get on the freeway, and you head east, and it's on the main freeway.
That stadium in SoFi look unbelievable. SoFi was so pretty. It was like almost romantic. The sun's coming through.
It's nice.
The windows. They say it's so nice.
Al Michaels said last week you can get a suntan at SoFi indoors because the way the screen is. When you fly into Los Angeles, folks, depending on which tarmac you come in on, runway, it's off to the right. Usually when I fly into Los Angeles, it looks like a spaceship.
It does.
Now, the Raiders stadium, when you fly into Vegas, looks like a football stadium, but it's all black.
So it reflects the lights of Vegas at night.
Yeah, it looks like a giant hockey puck, and it reflects. So in the night games in Vegas, so when you watch that stadium tonight in Las Vegas, you'll see the city, the strip will be reflecting off it. And, of course, Vegas is, like New York, kind of a city of lights.
Yeah.
So I've been there at night in Las Vegas, and it's just, you can just see it's like a mirror. It comes off the stadium.
I'm sure it's beautiful. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. The Raiders went from the oldest, most decrepit stadium to the newest stadium in the NFL, so you'll get that tonight. Good stuff. Raycon's new wireless earbuds, discreet and 15% off if you go to buyraycon.com/herd, H-E-R-D. I wear them when I'm jogging, when I'm podcasting. They're fantastic. Sweat on them, won't matter. buyraycon.com/herd. 6 hours of playtime and more bass. Hour 3, Tony Gonzalez and more next.